You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
So here we are in a brand new year, 2023, and I want to speak to you today about how to have a happy new year. You know, I know we wish that to one another, have a happy new year, but I'm going to teach you a principle that guarantees it. Guarantees. If you take the truth I'm sharing today, you will have a happy new year. All right? It's just going to happen. And it's got to do with having a healthy soul. The Bible is very clear that actually our outer life is merely a reflection of our inner life. You can't expect this life to change if this part of you is not changing. It's just not going to happen. It's just going to be temporary. It won't last. But lasting change will happen when your inner life, your soul life, actually changes. So we're talking about having a healthy soul. And it's surprising to me how people don't make the connection. They honestly have separated those two things. They think that there's no relationship between their outer life and their inner life. But the Bible is very clear. They're firmly connected, and our outer life, the streams of it, the circumstance of it, actually flows from our heart, our soul. So we're going to start teaching, and we're going to look at Isaiah 43. This is a popular scripture. Many of you know it. It's probably a fridge magnet for you. But we're going to see what God is saying. And what he's saying is, the problem isn't that I don't want to bring change into your life. The question is more, are you in a position to receive it? He's saying, hey, I am already doing something. You prayed, I already answered, I'm already bringing change. But are you in a place where you can even recognize it? Let's read it. This is what the Lord says, forget what's happened in the past. Do not dwell on events long ago. I'm going to do something new. See, sound effects is happening to help me in the service. The drama of this scripture is so strong. All right? It's already happening. Don't you recognize it? See, when there's so much fire on your sermon, the alarm goes off. I tell you, it's like, whoa, whoa. All right. Don't you recognize it? I will clear a way in the desert. I will make rivers on dry land. Let's glean some wisdom from this. God's saying, I'm already doing something in your life. This is my desire for you. You prayed. It's my intention to respond to that prayer. But are you in a place of alignment to respond to what I'm bringing to you? Will you even recognize what I'm bringing to you? God could be doing a completely new thing in your life. But he says, first, if you're so fixated on the past, you can't see what I'm doing in the present. You'll miss it completely. You won't recognize this is something God's bringing into my life, all right? So God says, would you get your head out of rehearsing the past over and over and over again? Because when you are absorbed with the past, you're not seeing what I'm doing in the present. You're actually missing what I'm bringing to you. You're distracted from what God is wanting to bring to you in this present moment. And then he says, well, don't you recognize it? Well, if we're looking for it to be really dramatic and sensational and spectacular, then we're probably going to miss it, because very often God chooses to bring circumstance and situation and voice to our life through others. So you could be sitting having a coffee conversation with a friend, and suddenly they speak something. And if you're so absorbed in the past, you're going to miss that. That was the word of the Lord for you through their mouth. That they were actually, you're waiting for an angel to turn up. He sent your friend drinking coffee with you, and you're yeah, that's just my friend. No. It's God, and you're not recognizing it. You're not recognizing because you're too absorbed in the past, or you're just expecting it to be spectacular and sensational. Or maybe God's speaking to you, but you don't realize it because it was that road sign that said, wrong way, turn back. And you didn't realize. You're looking for something far more sensational than that, but there was something about that sign that God positioned and said, listen, you're going the wrong way, now turn around. It's the wrong way. Or it could be you stuck in the jam for ages behind a personalized number plate that says, let go. And no, you're not, yeah, this and that. And, but right in front of you, right there, let go. And you don't realize God positioned your car behind that car because he's speaking to you. All right, but no, you're not going to recognize it because, oh, if God's bringing something, it's spectacular, it's amazing, there's goosebumps. No, the fact that he says you're not even recognizing it, I'm doing it now and you don't know it, implies that it's not coming like you thought it would.
That's right.
All right, and when we're so absorbed in the past, we miss what God is bringing to us in the present. That's why he says stop doing that. Some of us, something has happened in the past and we're calling it rejection. But God says, look again, that wasn't rejection, that was redirection. But you don't recognize it because you're going, no, I'm rehearsing the past. And God says, no, I did that not so you would suffer rejection, but to redirect your life. And understand that through the lens of the past, we could be stuck in believing that our hopes and dreams were buried. And God says, no. I took the seed of your destiny and I buried it in the soil of your circumstance to bring forth new life. The caterpillar has to die in order for the butterfly to live. Some of us are still mourning the death of the caterpillar without realizing, no, this was necessary. It's not the end, it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Some of us are stuck in the past. We're looking at our lives through the lens of the past and we think we've come to the end of our possibilities. And God says, look again, it's not the end, it's a new horizon. You're looking at a new horizon of possibilities. So really these verses are saying God is willing to bring change. In fact, in this room, he's already doing it. But his question to us is, are you in a place where you can even recognize this new thing that I'm bringing to you in 2023? And so this brings to light the fact that not only is God doing it, we have a part to play. We must bring something of ourselves to bring to pass God's intention in our lives. It's not just sit back and let God do it. God's bringing into question our alignment, our what's going on inside of us, being in a position to respond. And this brings us to understanding the struggle to change. Us humans often make bold New Year's resolutions, but here we are starting a new year and you're already remembering the promises you made to yourself for last year and wow, you were sincere, you meant it, but somehow it didn't happen, all right? And so why is change, real life change so hard for us humans? It's not that we're not sincere, we make promises, we earnestly cry out to God for change. We come out to the altar call and we recommit our commitment to our dedication of our commitment of our dedication of our commitment. And it's real, it's true, and there's tears, and it's absolutely right. But something needs to be addressed. that we want to talk about today. And that is what Jesus pointed to when his disciples were also disappointed in themselves, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he'd asked them to do something. They wanted to do it, respond, but they said, somehow we can't. Why is it, Jesus, we can't seem to do the things that you're asking us to do? And I'm so grateful I asked that question, because Jesus gave the answer. And that's where we're going to look through this window of wisdom that he gave us. Just one line, but it's pregnant with understanding and insight. And we're going to look through this window of wisdom and see what Jesus points at as being the issue. He said to them, your spirit is willing, but the problem lies elsewhere. It's not your spirit, it's your flesh. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it never fails to amaze me how Jesus can say so much in so few words. Now, before we dive into this, we need to acknowledge that our Bible is a translated book. The Bible you're reading is translated from another language that it was originally written in. And for us to really get and understand what Jesus intended us to understand, we have to go back to the original language to make sure that we're connecting with what did he mean us to get when he said that. Your spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Well, first of all, we see that this word flesh in the Bible could be translated or equivalent to the frailty of the human nature or the soul. The soul. So we could put it in there. Your spirit is willing, but your soul is weak. The word weak in the original language means lacking in strength. So Jesus said, there's nothing wrong with your spirit. I see your spirit. It's right and true and pure. But the problem lies elsewhere. Your struggle is not spirit. It's your soul. It's not healthy. And it lacks strength to give expression to your spirit's willingness. That's the frustration. He's not calling into question their spirit. He's pointing where the problem really is. He's bringing to light where the issue really is. It's about soul health. That's the real issue. And what does this word soul mean? Really, let's make sure that we're all on the right track with the word soul. The first place in the Bible this word soul occurs is Genesis chapter 2. It says, the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's spirit. That's ruach. All right. And then when these things came together, he became something. He became a living soul. So the correct understanding of this word soul is you as a living person. Your mind, will, emotion, and your physical action all coming together to give one expression. And that is, I can point to you and say, you are a living soul. That is your person of who you are. And when someone has their mind, will, emotion, physical action all in alignment, that person is a healthy soul. When those things start to fracture and get out of alignment, that person is a unhealthy soul, all right? And so notice also, before we move on, we need to realize that in one statement, Jesus is drawing a distinction between what spirit is and soul is. He's drawing a distinction. He's pointing to one, then he points to the other. They're not the same thing. All right, and so spirit is the breath of God. There's not anyone in here who hasn't been gifted with the life of God. The Father of all spirits, Hebrews says, has given you spirit. And it's impossible for you to have an immature spirit. We've we use that terminology in our Christianese, but in fact we're referring to a person's soul, character, not their spirit. Because it's impossible for God to have breathed into you an immature spirit. It wasn't like you were down the end of the line and by the time he got to you he was out of breath and all he managed was a little puff and he said, oh my, sorry, I'm just so out of breath. You've seen all these people, all I got left, that's all. So you're going to have to do life with the, sorry, yeah, you got ripped off, you got an immature, no, that can't happen. Listen, it's impossible for your spirit to be any more spiritual. Can't be done. You can't. It's like, I wish that bird was more of a bird. I wish that fish was more of a fish. You know? You can't do that. It's like, it's a bird. It's a fish. Yeah. But, so it's impossible for your spirit. So follow what Jesus is doing. He's pointing away from that being the issue and he's pointing to this being the issue. One is a constant. Another is a variable. All right? So let's clear that in our head. And so Jesus in other places also points to the issue being the soul. He said in Matthew 16, we don't have it for the screen, but he said, you know, it's possible for you to gain the whole world, but lose your soul. Now, of course, there is the eternal meaning he's projecting. But I also want you to know there's the immediate effect of what he's saying. It's possible for us to lose our soul now by the way we're treating it. Because the word lose, again, original language, means to damage, to injure. So Jesus is saying, sure, you can chase all those things, you can have all those things, but you would damage your soul if you do that. So yes, there's the long-term, eternal perspective, but also the immediate warning that he's given us about damaging, fracturing, bringing our soul into, what's the word, disalignment? Is that a word? Well, I just made it up if it's not, all right? Okay, so when we put all these things together, what are we being told? Disciples come to Jesus. How come we're struggling to change? We want to. We can't seem to do it. Jesus says, listen, guys, without question, your spirit is willing. The problem is your soul lacks the strength to give expression to your spirit's willingness. So I'm saying perhaps we've made the mistake of thinking our struggle is spiritual instead of going to work on the very thing that Jesus is pointing at. And it's not that we're insincere about changing. It's that just that our spirit wants to do lots of things that our soul can't accommodate. You know, some of us, we have soul lag. Our spirit is right out there, destiny, purpose, dream of God in our heart, but our soul is way back here. Soul lag. Soul is lagging way behind the destiny, purpose, and vision that we know is burning in our hearts to be the will of God for our lives. And so the problem, why this must be addressed is that because the soul is the mind, the will, the emotion, and physical expression, the spirit must pass through the soul on its way to manifestation in thought, in word, in action. So if I was to use this water bottle as an illustration, there's no question there's water in this bottle. The bigger question is, can it get out? And it can't get out. So some people will take the will of God, the destiny of God to their grave because it was trapped within a soul that couldn't give expression to the spirit's willingness in their life. So anything our spirit commits to do can be cancelled out by our soul, regardless of what the spirit wants. It's the integrity, the alignment of our soul that provides this outlet. See, if you get a word of prophecy or a gift in your spirit, I've got to get it out of my mouth to speak it to you. I have to see it in my mind. I have to. So the soul is given to, as a cooperation, a means of bringing into manifestation what the spirit wants. All right? And if that's restricted, then of course. So Jesus is really helping us here. He's pinpointing the issue. And why is this important to understand? Well, if we make everything into a spiritual issue and we have failed to address the issues of the soul in our honesty and obedience and faithfulness and follow through and responsibility, they're not issues of your spirit, they're issues of the soul. If we don't address these, then we end up just being a bunch of super spiritual Christians who can prophesy, understand the will of God, but we are so quickly offended in our soul that we quit or we frustrate or we bring into restriction. We get offended. We come to our prayer meeting, we prophesy, sing, declare. It is God. The things that we're seeing in the spirit, it's God. But we can't even get into the car park and drive home without getting upset about something. You know, so we sing and prophesy, but in fact, we get very little done because it requires soul to get it done. Actually, that's where the work, the bottleneck needs to be addressed. I love this verse in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, for those of you who aren't, was a brilliant leader, and God gave him a vision to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the walls, very important in ancient times for a city to have walls of protection, and God put it in his heart. So spirit, vision, destiny, definitely he had it. All right, and he goes back and he shares this vision with the people, and they eventually start building and accomplish this in very quick time. I love the fact, look at, as we read this verse, where Nehemiah points to being the reason why they actually got it done. He doesn't beat his chest and say, I told you it was the will of God. See, I told you I was hearing from God. He doesn't point there. Look at where he points. He says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together to half its height because the people had a mind to work. He's not pointing spirit. He's saying soul. These people turned up on time every day, got their knuckles all bloodied as they laid bricks in the hot sun. They turned up again and again, and they worked and they worked and they worked. And that's why the will of God actually became a reality. It was, these people had a healthy soul. They followed through. They stayed with their commitment. And so it's not faith. It's faithfulness that God is pointing to there. All right. So from our willing spirits, we can sincerely say we're going to live godly lives. We're going to take this city, and that's all purpose. But I'm telling you now, unless we address the issue, we will just continue to prophesy things that are frustrated and restricted and are unable to be released because we haven't addressed the issues of our soul. Some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought it was all spiritual, and if we just overcome these spiritual things. Well, actually, the Bible points to the soul as being the battleground. Look at this verse in 1 Peter. It says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. I love that we include Martians and people from other planets. I'm so excited. All right, so in the world, abstain from sinful desires that war against your soul. Thank you, both of you. Anyone else want to join? Where is it warring? Against your soul. All right. So there's a war against our soul. The reality is mental issues, emotional issues are issues of the soul. Your spirit is willing, but the flesh is often too weak to give, to translate that willingness. That's what Jesus is saying. All right, so how does the soul become weak? Da-na-na-na. Some of you know I like the dramatic music, so there it is. Da-na-na-na. How does a soul get weak? Well, a soul becomes weak when it gets fractured. If ever you've watched sport and maybe seen someone dislocate their shoulder or they catch the ball a certain way and they dislocate their thumb or finger, that part of them immediately becomes weak because it's disconnected. It's out of alignment. When they pop it back in, strength is restored immediately. All right? So my soul is weakened when I lie to people. It looks like I'm getting away with it, but Jesus said, no, you're actually damaging your soul. Because for me to be convincing with my mouth and my facial expression about something I know in my heart is not true, for me to do that convincingly, I've got to fracture my soul. And Jesus said, sure, go on, you can do that, but you're damaging your soul. You're fracturing yourself. That's the price. My soul's weakened when I act like a different person when I'm with my family, when I'm with my friends and with my work colleagues and my church friends. I have to fracture myself to be this person in these different places. One person here, one person, and my church person, etc. and so on. Yeah, we're convinced. But Jesus says, well, you think you're getting away with that, but you're not. You're damaging your soul. You're fracturing yourself. My soul's weakened when I project acts of kindness towards somebody, but secretly in my heart, I emotionally want to punish them because they're not giving me what I want. I've got to fracture myself to do that. God bless you. But really, I want to slap you right now, but... God bless you. So good. They share something. Oh, so good. You think, dang. Hope things go pear-shaped for you. But with my mouth and my face, I'm fracturing myself to do that convincingly. So I end up being fractured in my soul when these parts of me start to clunk out of alignment. And I'm not a whole soul. I'm not a healthy soul. When I've got one set of values for work, one set of values for my finance and my sex life and my church life, and I'm this, all these different people, and you're fracturing yourself. You're fracturing yourself to do that. You're losing your soul. That's how Jesus actually talked. And your soul is getting weaker and weaker and weaker the longer you keep that up. And so this is why sin, stop thinking that God is this sergeant major that's given us all these rules and, you know, gets really upset when we break his rules. That's not what's going on. You are a beautiful soul and you are vandalizing yourself when you sin. You're vandalizing yourself. God's watching this beautiful soul that he made you be, fracturing yourself. And he's so grieved by that. It's not that you've broken his rules. It's that you could be so much more. I made you to be so much more, but look what you're doing to your soul. It's intended to be something far more beautiful than that. So how do we bring our soul back into health and alignment? Well, being here today is a huge step in you bringing health to your soul. You need to be in the company of people that are loving God, love his word, see it as truth. This is good for your soul to be here. Out there, you're going to hear lots of other things that are going to pull your soul into fracturing disalignment. Here, you'll feel your soul coming into rest and alignment, and I'm so need to be here today in your connect group. being in those company of other people who are there to support and maybe gently bring you back into alignment when they feel that you're drifting a little bit. That's so healthy for your soul. That's why some of you, the first thing that goes is being here. The first thing that goes is connect. And then you wonder why these other parts of your life are lacking in function. But let me give you three things, just quickly, and then we'll bring this into land. Three things that, apart from being here today and Connect Group and being a part of the body of Christ, three things that I think are really important to soul health is, number one, telling the truth to God, yourself, and others. Truth is alignment. Truth brings your soul into rest, because when you're fractured, it's under a constant tension of being an imposter and the tension of one day being found out. You've created enormous tension in your soul. But truth, when I start telling the truth to myself, God, and others, it just clunks those things back into alignment. And, you know, people, without realizing it, they tell us their soul's fractured. They say things like, I feel like my life's falling apart. See, they're not using the terminology I'm using, but they're really innately and intuitively, they know their soul's fractured. I can't seem to get myself together. I can't seem to get my act together. I feel like I'm going to pieces. I feel like I'm coming apart at the seams. These are all the cries of someone with a fractured soul. So telling the truth to yourself, God, is a very practical way that you can bring your inner life into alignment and restore strength to your soul. Number two, your soul will be restless until you let it come home. Your soul knows where home is. It knows where home is. Look at where Jesus told us the soul, your soul home is. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest to your souls. That part of you, that part, that's where it finds rest. Your soul innately, intuitively knows where home is. When I say home, I mean a safe place where you are yourself, where you are known and loved. Your soul, when it comes back to its creator, the one that gave it life, it knows it's come home. If I was to describe what your soul is feeling when it's in the presence of God, it's the feeling of, I'm home. That's the peace we feel. That's the rest we feel. If you struggle to put words to it, that's what your soul is feeling. It's feeling, I'm home. And that's why this is something that God waits for us to voluntarily bring our soul home. He can't take it or force it. See, you have something God can't receive or have unless you give it to Him. I think that's profound. You, little old you and me, we have something that this God of the universe, the galaxies, the God, He can't have this unless we give it to Him. And that is our worship, our devotion. He can't have it unless we willingly give it to Him. Because if He took it, it would cease to be worship. It would cease to be devotion. Think about the huge risk God took in giving you a free will. Because in wanting your yes, He had to empower you to say no. Otherwise, your yes is nothing. It's a pre-programmed robotic response. God took an enormous... So today, you have something that can bless the heart of God. It's so precious. You want to make God go, wow, that's so precious. Give Him what he can't have unless you give it to him. That's your worship. That's your soul coming home. So important. So let's have the singers and musicians come back. But remember, we've just read the menu. Don't get into, oh, I'm leaving the restaurant. Why are you leaving? You just read the menu. Come on. Let's have the meal now. And so I want you to stand to your feet. You know, let's just quickly touch on those points again. How do we bring our dislocated parts of our soul back into alignment? We tell the truth to God, ourselves, and others. We let our soul find rest by bringing it into the presence of the one that created it and give it life. But here's another thing. Perhaps you're here today and you're feeling a bit confused because despite how sincere you are, and Jesus knows you're sincere, you still feel like a bit of a lost soul. There's still something out of alignment. And maybe you're like I was. I dislocated, I fractured my soul years ago because I worked out the only way for my emotional pain to stop was to dislocate my mind from my emotion. So I did it and it stopped. But the problem was the day came when I wanted to feel again and I wanted to be whole again, and I realized, wow, I need my soul to be healed. I fractured myself and sure, I made the pain stop, but now I want to be healthy. I want to be whole. Or maybe you figured out long time ago that people in your family, your parents, others around, they wanted you to be a particular type of person. So you gave them that person. But it's not really you. So you have not been yourself for years and your soul is under enormous tension because you have given them a person that you aren't. And your soul knows it. Your soul knows it. Or maybe you don't know anymore why you're triggered by the things you're triggered by. Stuff happens and it's a mystery to you. You still haven't been able to work out why, when that happens, do I always react a certain way? Well, that's where we need help beyond ourselves. That's where we have this wonderful promise from Jesus Christ. He says, I am your shepherd. And I can restore your, where? Soul. You're wanting him to restore this, this is it. He says, no, I'm going to reach in and restore the part of you that is most critical. And when I do, as we heard Pastor Elaine talk about dominoes, he hits the first domino and then all these physical healings, all these relational issues, they all start to tumble because God restored your soul. Oh God, I want this, I want that. He said, no, no. I'm going to start where it really needs to start, and that is your soul. That's the promise of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.